Well, all right. Welcome to the Buy Me Fishing Show. It's my favorite time of the week. Glad you could join us here with Captain Scott Null, Captain Caleb McCumber, and Captain Dean Thomas. I'm John Lopez. Hey, don't forget, and we'll get to the feeding frenzy in just a bit because it is happening and it's going to be wild and great. And, you know, I went through some of the stuff we had last year. It's really kind of galvanized a little more in the last few days. My wife and I, our living room looks like a mess, but man, that's some cool stuff. Maybe I'll just keep it. No, I won't. We'll get to that. We'll get to all your topics, including trying something new, which was that was a really good question there. Don't get sucked into the Shore thing, the apps. Dean suggested that one. Right now, before we get started, don't forget the two most important things. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Wherever there are podcasts, the Bite Me podcast will be there. And join the group page. I'm going to save the feeding frenzy stuff for a little bit later in the show. But let's get going. I'm going to start with Scott on this one because we're talking about trends and approaches in the midst of this brutal heat. You are out there. What's happening right now, Scott, in your neck of the woods in Port O'Connor? What are you seeing? And how are you handling the heat, man?
It is hot and it's windy. And there's big waves, and I get these guys for 3 days. We got one more day tomorrow. It's supposed to be even windier tomorrow. We'll see.
Awesome.
but they came down and wanted a tarpon fish. You know, that's what they booked for. They booked me last year. We hooked and lost a tarpon with them last year. So they were really looking forward to that. Yesterday, it was pretty much a no-go. We went down the beach a little ways under protection of the North Jetty and didn't see any tarpon. My jetty fish haven't shown. I don't know where they went. They were here before, but now they're gone. Just dirty water, that southwest wind, hot. We did catch some trout yesterday throwing tarpon lures at the jetties. That was interesting.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, throwing DOA bait busters at the jetties and hoping to score, you know, a tarpon or a jack or bull red or something. Ended up hooking some trout. Got one good one in about 23.
I was going to say, they probably were pretty good.
Yeah, and then we lost one beside the boat that came up with the lure, but apparently he had it. I don't know what happened. I guess he had had a tooth inside the loop knot. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Because the loop knot was cut from the inside. But that was a 27, 28-inch trout. It was a big, big trout. And nice. Then to add insult to injury, it hovered on the top after it came. Yeah, after it broke off.
So you're looking at it.
Out of its mouth. It just hovered there on top and just looked at us like, hey, I'm still here.
Maybe next time. Maybe next time.
You should have jumped in.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen people do that.
Now, one of our, one of the skipjacks we released got eaten by a big brown thing. So, I mean, in one bite, it was a 23.
A big brown thing.
Yes.
We were talking about that about a month ago about what would cause you to jump overboard.
Yeah. Well, I ain't jumping overboard at those jetties because, I mean, in one gulp, it was a 23, 24-inch ladyfish that was kind of waddling on top after being caught, and it disappeared in one swirl.
Yikes.
And all I saw was something large and brown had come
Any
up.
Any guesses?
That was a big bull shark. I guarantee you.
Kraken. It was the Kraken.
Yeah, it was a manatee. It was those. It was one of those. Flesh-eating manatees.
Today the wind was down a little bit, so you know it dropped during the day. So I said, "Well, out of the 3 days, this is our best shot to go look for tarpon on the beach." So we ran way down past the lighthouse. It was still dirty water, but you could see blue water out. So I said, "Well, let's run out there and I'll drop some trolling rigs in. We'll just see if we can troll up a kingfish or." Jack something, you know. So we're zigzagging back there in that blue water right on the color change. And I see something dark hanging in the water about 100 yards out. I started easing up there too. I thought it was a big old manta ray.
Is what it kind of looked like.
I thought it was going to be one of those huge manta rays. I want to just go look at it. We get closer and it breaks up and it's a whole entire school of tarpon.
Oh, my goodness.
We're 2 miles off the beach, 3 miles off the beach. And there's this gigantic school of tarpon just kind of hanging on top, all huddled together. And as we got close, they separated. Then they went down. We couldn't get a cast on them. They came back up a few minutes later, swimming right straight at the boat. And got my guys lined up.
One Here we go.
Absolute beautiful cast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking 25, 30 tarpon on top, just cruising real nice and slow. He makes a beautiful cast, leads them by about 3 or 4 feet. Lure hits, and they scatter like freaking quail. I have no
idea. That was textbook, man.
I know. I have never seen tarpon spook like that. Yeah. And then a little while later, we ran across a school of jacks doing the same thing. They were all huddled up on top, just kind of hanging. And it was like nothing was feeding. There was no activity of feeding at all. No birds mm-hmm. moving. And yeah. The damn fish, the game fish we're looking for, were just kind of hanging out on top, sunning. I don't know.
That's the damnedest thing right there.
It was weird. It was very strange.
Well, and Dean, go ahead.
I trolled for probably 12 miles, zigzagging color changes,
mm-hmm.
and did not even get a bump on the trolling lures.
Yikes.
And that hardly ever happens.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell is going on.
Wayward kingfish or something.
Something, a jack.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I don't know, man. I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow. I got the same guys tomorrow. I have no idea what I'm doing tomorrow.
It has been windy. And, Dean, we've got some questions here we'll get to. But trends, what you're seeing, approaches, brutal heat, go. What are you seeing, man?
There was a manatee spotted in Corpus Christi Bay yesterday.
Yeah, I heard really? That.
Was it eating trout?
A buddy of mine that was out there fishing.
Flounder.
Actually,
man, he was eating them.
I guess I should explain that before you go on.
I heard people talking about it, and then a buddy of mine was way up on the Portland shoreline, and it surfaced right near his boat, so he got a good mm-hmm. look at it. I don't know. They're probably mounting an attack as we speak.
they're organizing. They're organizing right now.
I mean, fishing. Fishing for me has been kind of hit or miss. We have some days that are just amazing, and then we try to duplicate it the next day, and it can be difficult. What's been interesting over the last week is that the bite has really followed the major feeding periods. Even in the afternoon, in the heat of the day, when everything lines up in shallow, very hot water, and not ultra shallow water. I mean, not like the ultra stuff, but the edges of the flats, sand holes that are 2 and 3 feet deep, the redfish have come alive in the afternoon. So, I mean, it's been interesting. Just when you think you got it figured out, you know, and you can just, you know, explain that you go early in the morning in the summer and you kind of go by the rules, the fish don't always apply to that. So it's been interesting the last week. I mean, I'm kind of interested to see how August goes with the we're coming up on a new moon in about a week and see how it all plays out. But it's been hit or miss. I mean, one day it's just crazy, and then the next day you can't find you can't catch your ass with two hands.
I'm gonna use that. Let's before we get to the next topic, let's answer some of these questions. Let's go through some of these because we had some kayak questions. It's not on the rundown, but good stuff here. Perry talking about taking a pedal kayak into Lighthouse Lakes. I know you got some thoughts on that, Dean, because sometimes the pedal kayak won't help you, but what about just the premise in general?
Well, Lighthouse Lakes and B&R Flats that are just across the street from there, all that area behind Harbor Island are an amazing place to paddle. It's ultra shallow. A lot of skiffs can't get in there. It's really hard to navigate, and it is really shallow, so they're great. But it's subject to the tide. It is so shallow that it's bottom dragging, even for a kayak on a normal low tide. So timing mm-hmm. is everything over there. The fall is amazing around Lighthouse Lakes. A lot of those big schools of reds that are hanging around the pass move on to those flats. I mean, we get mega schools of reds in there. But like I've said the last couple of weeks, which has never happened yet this summer, is if you get a tropical storm, if you get a huge push of tide that comes in, those places just go crazy with schools of redfish, speckled trout as well. I mean, it's both sides of the road right down behind Harbor Island are amazing. But the biggest trick is the tide, timing it with the high tide, knowing where to go. It's not an easy place to fish. I mean, it's you gotta take and have a little practice out there, know where some deeper holes are, and such as that, because it is vast and it is ultra shallow. But I mean, I have spent the last 20 years fishing that place. It is amazing. Some of the most beautiful sights of tailing reds and schools of herds of redfish passing through there. I mean, it's a pretty special place.
All right, coming up, let's get to your questions, which of course you can send to us. Just join the Bite Me Facebook group page and be sure to hit the I agree button. That's important. And we're going to do that next on Sports Radio 610. Welcome back. Happy Friday. Let's get to some questions here. In fact, let's hop around on there and let's get to water temps, because I think it'll tie in with what you and Scott both were talking about right there. City Life just said, hey, everyone, John, what's up with those shorts in your YouTube earlier? They were shorts, man. I got some good looking legs. I like to show them off every once in a while. By the way, that was awesome, Scott. I was challenged on my day job at Sports Radio 610. Somehow it came up. You know, my partner Landry, he's a nut, and he's always a contrarian and everything. Somehow he came up. Have you fished lately? I said, well, I'm doing something else right now with the feeding frenzy. And he said, yeah, I heard you're not casting as well anymore, that you're really struggling on the water, just making stuff up. So I just said, oh man, I could throw a lure into a trash can 50 yards away. Which I did a long time ago when I was younger and I was probably drunk. But, you know, I'm a pretty accurate caster. And I said, he said, no way, no way, no way. So I actually came home, put some shorts on, got out. What I can really launch is my, you know, a top water. But this one was a corky. It was a nice and, you know, sleek. So I did it live. I said, I'm not even going to edit this video. I'm just going to turn it on. And I'm going to cast three times, see if I can, because he said I couldn't get it in three tries. Second try.
Can you do it with pants can. On? Can you do
I
it
can
with...
do it with pants on.
You
want
to get more pants on?
It's interesting. All I can do it in is shorts. I can't figure it out. Only in shorts. So that was pretty cool to shut him up a little bit on that. And then you can't shut
there
him up.
There is no shutting up, Landry.
There is no shutting him up. But I got to admit, I stepped off 52 yards is what it ended up being. And I went, well, dang, I was like, I don't know about this anymore, but I did it. That's a long ways, man.
So that's funny. So whenever I read that original statement, I was thinking short video as well, not short pants.
No,
and if you
short.
Read the last comment that popped up right there, I meant short video of you casting. So unfortunately,
okay.
We don't always understand what.
Yeah,
we're
that's
about.
Above our head. But that was a flex moment for me. So I was quite proud. So I still got that. I'm as good once as I ever was. Put it that
you
way.
You just wanted to talk about your legs.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't? All right. So let's get back to. I think this topic ties in with how we started this podcast. So water, we know the heat, man. I mean, it's just been ridiculous. It's the story all over. But water temps. Now, you guys, I'll start with Dean on this one. I know Scott has some opinions. Are you looking for a water temp drop or a particular temperature in the water temp for this bite to really get going?
I mean, it would be nice if it would drop, but that's probably not going to happen. But in spite of these temperatures, timing is everything. The fish are still going to eat. They just don't eat as much. And they don't eat as often. The bite has been following the major feeding periods like precisely lately.
Mm-hmm.
During the fall, during the winter, or maybe during the dead of winter, January and February, it does follow more precisely. Spring and fall can be a little more random and arbitrary when it comes to that. There's this, they seem to be feeding more often and you have a larger window. Right now with this heat that we have, I think that window is smaller, but if you hit that window, I mean, it can be great. So I've put a lot of emphasis on that lately. You know, we go through this long, slow spell from 10 to about 11, And then after that, it starts to crank up again. That major feeding period after we move past the full moon is going later and later into the afternoon. Now it's like 3 or 4 o'clock now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can stand the heat above the water, which the human challenge is probably the biggest, but if you can be there when it happens, I mean, that there's been a lot of fish caught in the afternoon. So crazy game we play out there, and we're always trying to figure it out day to day, week to week. You just you go out there and work with what you got and put the most advantages in your favor and, you know, try to be there when it's going to happen.
What about like the big turn on? Like there's going to come a point, Scott, where the water temperature either drops or gets to a certain temp where things are just going to open up. I mean, do you have a theory on that, a philosophy or anything along those lines?
Like Dean talks about it, if we can get something tropical, I don't want a hurricane. I don't have time to deal with that. But mm-hmm. a little tropical depression, a little tropical storm, maybe a little Cat 1 hurricane. My biggest problem right now is I think anything that gets in the Gulf is not going to be little.
No.
I was cruising around out there today in 30, 35 feet of water, and the surface temperature was 86, 87, 88 degrees. Man. That's hot.
But not 90, there. Right, Dean?
Yeah, it's hovering at 89. And this is the time of year when the big ones happen. I mean, there's not small hurricanes at the end of August.
So
yeah,
what would help us here, it sucks for other people, but it would help us here if one of them hurricanes just kind of skirted across the Gulf and went into Mexico or
yeah,
you know, something like that. It could go in down there at the King Ranch, you know, where it knocks over some cows and that's about it. And, yeah. But it as long as it cows. Just.
Hey, what the hell is happening? I was standing a second ago. Cow tipping. That's going to be the name of the hurricane. It's not going to be a person's name. It's going to be the cow tipper.
Yeah. But something like that comes in and pushes up a big upwell of Gulf water where it pulls some of that deep, deep water and gets it cooled off, dumps some rain. You know, we're super salty, man. I mean, my reels have got salt crystals all over them just from, you know, being reeled in and splashing. And everything, the salt content's super high.
We've consistently had those storms over the last couple of summers. This year, they have been non-existent. Our tides are extremely low here now, too. So it's letting the normal summer tide take place without any variety mixed in. So it has been low on the flats.
Yeah, I'm worried. I always tell people, and I tell myself not to borrow worry. Don't worry about something until it happens, and you'll live a better life. But you hit it, Scott. You're seeing reports all over the hottest temperatures in the Gulf, sometimes in recorded history, depending on what area you're talking about. You know what that's going to do, man. I mean, we get any disturbance, and we will. I mean, it's going to be late August, early September, I believe. The worst one in 2017 was in September. I think it's going to be pretty dang bad.
Peak hurricane season overall is September 10th. That's the peak of the entire season. So, I mean, we still got a long ways to go. But, hell, just sitting at the dock yesterday in the morning before customers even got there, I turned on my electronics and just kind of kicking back, getting ready for the day. And I glanced down and it's 91.4 degrees on the water temperature before daylight.
Yeah.
In the intercoastal. I don't know. I can't ever recall seeing it like this.
All right. Coming up. Have you ever experienced firsthand the healing powers of fishing? We'll discuss. And we have. Let's talk about it next right here on Sports Radio 6. All right. Welcome in. Welcome into the Buy Me podcast. It is happening. Lots to cover. Today, as always, news and notes has been one of my favorite things because there's always little stuff that we can get to right out of the chute here. Let's see, where do we want to start? How about number one in the world? I set that up on purpose. Number one in the world,
Number one, that's a good place to start.
That's a good place to start. I got, for those who haven't joined the Bite Me group page, by the way, this is the Bite Me podcast. That's Captain Dean. You just heard his voice. Captain Scott joins us as well. And we'll see about Captain Caleb, but we're rolling. Let's get going. For those who don't know and haven't been on the Bite Me group page, I got an email this week, and were we three last year, Scott, at Saltwater? Yeah. I think it was three last year, saltwater podcasts in the world. And we were, I think, button up against top 10, if not top 10. So a little self-serving, but good to share with the listeners, because the listeners are, of course, the biggest reason that this thing is what it is. But I got an email this week, last week, I should say, that said, the Bite Me podcast, congratulations, ranked by FeedSpot as the number one saltwater fishing podcast in the world. So take that, Mozambique, which was in the top 10. Take that, Ireland, which was in the top 10. Take that, what's another country that was up in there? I think Mexico. Cabo San Lucas was in there, a podcast out of there. And then top 10 overall fishing podcast. So pretty so cool, man.
Don't you actually have to give the listeners more credit? Because
yes. Yes.
They're the ones who create the ranking.
they're the ones who listen, listeners. and get it all done. So that's cool. Little news and notes on a personal level, on a very selfish level. So that's always good. Weather has been, we can pause here on the weather for a second and talk it up a little bit. Dean, I know you just got back from your ranch, and how deep was the water?
Bumper.
To the bumper?
Yeah. Well, the road going in, this is 8 miles of the worst. I will put this road against any road in Texas as the worst 8 miles of dirt road driving.
Number one in Texas. There we go.
So-called county road. This is a county, whatever. I don't know how. It's a public road. It's not a private road, and it is 8 miles. So the rain that's been going on down there, which the ranch was relatively dry. I mean, there was a few spots on the ranch that were still a little muddy, but overall it was dry. But the road is like,
yeah,
it becomes a river. From years of grading it, it's lower than the sides. And that was the biggest part of the adventure, probably, of the whole week. And there's like six mud holes on that road that are just absolutely horrible.
Do you have a rain gauge out there? How much rain do you get?
Don't have a gauge. Don't keep it out there. There was probably rusted and fell over somewhere along the lines. But there's been sporadic rain. Falcon Lake is coming way up.
Which
has been bone dry for 5 years, is rising really quick. The rain down there was not like nothing that was dangerous or flash floods. It's just been steady rain week after week for a while now. So the ranch was crispy brown and dead. The places that there was grass had turned to dust and then turned to dirt. I didn't think it was ever coming back. But the desert is a very resilient place. With the rain that we have had, that place is the most beautiful green, waist high grass. Amazing how it has rebounded in just a few short months with the rain that we've got there.
It also means you got to mow it, and I saw your videos on that. So that was fun.
I think when I finish mowing, it's going to be time to go to the other end and start all over again.
Scott, your pond was a little low and dry, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was basically a mud puddle. With a few catfish in it, and that was about it.
Yeah.
It's probably within 2 feet of being completely full now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's real good. That's real good.
Saturday night into Sunday morning, starting about 2 a.m., I guess it was, just a hellacious storm. I mean, that was thunder like I ain't ever heard before. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we always say stuff like that, but it literally was thunder for about 3 or 4 hours without a break.
Yeah.
It was just rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one dog. One of our dogs, Murphy, is not fond of thunder.
And so, Scott, will your pond like rise with the water table?
Yeah.
Oh, Like, so after, because that's what happened at the ranch. It doesn't get a lot of, it catches what falls from the sky, right. But you give it like 2 weeks, and as the water table rises, then it's kind of weird, but it fills up the pond 2 weeks later.
Yeah, man. we're all sand, and so everything that's puddled up in the yard takes a day or two to go away. But as it goes away, that's higher than the pond.
Mm-hmm.
The pond, right. Pond level will still come up. It's probably come up, I don't know, one of my fish holding devices that I put in out there was still sticking up about 4 inches after the rain, and it's gone now.
Mm.
But it's risen another, you know, 4, 5, 6 inches.
Yeah. Well, and I say all that because obviously the weather has been a story for a couple of weeks now, maybe 3-4 weeks altogether. It's kind of a good time for that whole discussion. We had a post on this on the group page, which I always encourage people to join. Boy, that storm came out of nowhere. I mean, Dean, you experienced that, and then one of our listeners, I'm sure you saw the post. I mean, he said it was partly cloudy, and then all of a sudden there's water spouts or a tornado, whatever the heck it was.
And I did see pictures and some videos of water spouts and funnel clouds. One, they actually called it a tornado near Tivoli between me and Scott. And, man, we ran from one, whatever, 3 or 4 days ago where we were sitting out there fishing. And as I was watching the weather start to brew, you know, I told the guys, I said, well, let's go head for some flats. They're a little closer to the marina just in case and see what happens. And before I got where I was headed, I told them guys, hang on. We ain't stopping. And we got to the marina just in time. And where we were sitting there at the pier, there was lightning cracking off over our head. And and it was a much better place to be than where we were 5 minutes before that.
So Scott, you know, we always talk about being prepared and knowing when the cloud starts to build and all that. We've had that discussion on here. But I was looking at Dean's video. I was looking at the video on our group page. And I'm like, you know, sometimes, you can plan and look all you want, and it just pops up.
But after we've had a lot of rain like this, you've got all that ground moisture, and then it got hot. I mean, it was, well, we always say Africa hot. And on forgot which day it was now, Saturday, I guess it was hotter here than it was in Africa.
So it was Africa hot.
Yeah, the people in Africa. Texas, the high in Texas that day was hotter than the high in Africa.
Yeah, that's all you
people
need to know.
People in Africa would be going, man, it's like Texas hot out here.
So what you get, you get all that moisture on the ground and you get that heat building up by the afternoon. You're going to have those little pop-ups, and that's what you got to watch. I was watching them Friday. I had Steve Manrose. He's with one of the rep groups that handles Johnson Outdoors and stuff. He used to be the manager over at Fish Tackle Unlimited, and had him and his daughter out for her 15th birthday, which I can't believe it is because I was there born. We just kept watching because it was just getting hazy around, and it had that weird feel about it. It was windy, but it just had that odd feeling like we were going to get caught anytime. And I was staring at the horizon and then looking at my radar just to see if there was something hiding in that haze.
Yeah.
That's where I've been caught before is when it's like that, you just get that, not really like a fog, but just, it's just not clear out at distance. And then all of a sudden, one of those little pop-ups will be in the middle of it and catch you out of nowhere.
Yeah, you just got to pucker up sometimes and press the throttle because, as much as we prepare and try to help people and all that, they ain't nothing you can do. So what does it mean, Dean? I mean, what's been going on out on the water? We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Last week. I don't want to harp on it, but anything changing out there?
It doesn't. In Redfish Bay, in my part of the coast here, we just don't have any rivers that run into the bay. So it has a short-term effect, but goes back to normal real quick. We just don't have runoff. We don't have the floods that pour into the bay. It only catches what lands on top of it. Mm-hmm. What we have now is wind. The wind came behind this thing is, I mean, we got 20 plus every day. So that, and I don't know if that's an effect. I mean, it shouldn't be that windy this time of year. The front, I don't know what that was called, a front, a trough, the aftermath of the tropical storm, whatever happened, high pressure over here, high pressure over there. We're in the middle of that. So it's just creating a lot of wind for us.
Coming up, let's get an update on the Star Tournament. Welcome back, Scott. How's it looking out there?
Well, when I was out Friday, I got Rojo'd. the Rojo Classic was going to be here on Saturday, and I don't pay attention to when the tournaments are.
No,
and, dude, I got run over from every damn direction by tower boats. Those guys, there ain't an inch out there that they didn't look at.
Yeah.
I had to just go back into some little bitty waters. We found some tail and fish here and there. Saw some shrimp jumping around the tails. No schools.
You know, I think
schools were just getting beat to hell by those boats.
Yeah.
So it was pretty much singles scattered out here and there. I think we saw one decent school. But they should be schooled up. They have been, but it's hard to school up on the freeway. They were just completely run over. I don't know. that just pisses me off. It really does. Because we're all out there trying to enjoy ourselves. And I saw one of the other guides, she had her whole group. And normally she's usually waiting within 50 or 100 yards of the shoreline. You know, she usually will park. She's more trout.
Yeah. And
she was in the middle. I mean, the absolute middle of Big Pocket. Nobody wades out there.
Yeah, she was.
She had her boat parked out there and all her customers out there in a line going across Big Pocket. And that tells you everything you need to know. They pushed every fish off the shorelines.
Man, that's crazy.
Got to get creative in the summer. And I mean, here we are, barely June for the duration of summer. You're just going to have to get used to that. I mean, here in Aransas Pass, Port Aransas from Rockport, there is going to be 2 to 3 tournaments every single weekend throughout the summer, whether it's, you know, private tournaments, you have companies that come down and do their thing, and it's just the season for it.
Yeah. A couple more notes here, and then we're going to get into some topics. Like the one I'm looking forward to is the healing powers of fishing, and then also some of the weird things we've seen. I've got a couple of stories on that, the Rojo Cinco and other fishing oddities that we're going to get to. But a couple of more notes here. Not going to harp on the feeding frenzy. You know to go RSVP on the Facebook group page, or you should. But I do want to mention this, the Heavy Metal Gun Safes, Caleb over there at Heavy Metal Gun Safes reached out to me, asked for the Bite Me logo, asked for a couple of other things. Apparently, he is doing up that gun safe big time, big time. Going to put the Bite Me logo on it. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be one of the items that is going to be brightly colored with the Bite Me logo. So that's something else I wanted to just shout out right there. And a couple of questions for you guys. I have my thoughts, but you'll be more in tune with this. I got as I always do at this time, get the update on the Star Tournament, the CCA Texas Star Tournament. Only 3 confirmed red tags. After all that we talked about last week, remember, there's been a bunch of reports of people catching them, and only 3 confirmed. There are still 7 available, which is the truck and boat package and trailer. Now, there's been 4 of the blue tag, which is, depending on what it is, you can get different things. But this is what I was going to ask you. Sheep's head, gaff top, black drum. How many of these are still gettable? Sheep's head right now, the leader is Ramon. I won't say their last names. 9 pounds, 15 ounces, Scott. 9.15. How much is that going to hold?
It's gettable.
I mean, it is gettable?
Yeah. Pretty much every year, somebody will come in with a double digit. Yeah, one of the first years that it was on, my buddy had one. It was 9.5. We caught it the first week. I was with him. We caught it at San Luis Pass Bridge. And we were targeting it because that was the first year that they had sheep's head in the tournament. We said, man, let's get into one of the ones that nobody's going to fish for, right?
Yeah.
And we were over scraping barnacles off the islands, and we brought up some good ones. He actually sight casted it and caught it. Everything was great. And back then we didn't have the internet.
Yeah.
And so you had to check with the bait stands.
Mm-hmm. Or the newspaper.
He was wearing out the bait stands so much so that he started calling three different ones. He called one of them almost every day. And he was leading. The last week, he got beat twice in the very last week of the tournament. And he went from a new boat to an ice chest.
Boy, that hurts. That hurts. 9-15 strong, but I'm with you. I think there's a 10 out there. Let me ask you this, Dean. Gaff top. And people always think a gaff top is bigger than it actually is. Like, you'll say, well, that's a 6-pound gaff top. And it's like 3.5. Just because the head is so big. So there's a 5-pound, 12-ounce gaff top that's leading right now by Brad out of Livingston. 5'12", I think we can get to six plus.
Oh, that'll probably. I think our buddy Clint Bargy, he has the youth. He guides up there in Galveston, and he has a teenager that was on his boat that's actually leading the youth division for gaff top right now.
I don't recall
what the weight was, but
I'm looking at it right now. Was it Zoe? Linda's Sylvan Beach Camp is where they weighed it in, so I'm guessing that might be it.
Could have been.
No. That's Sheepshead. Gaff top is Joshua, 16 years old, 5 pounds, 2 ounces is the gaff top.
And I think Clint maybe led a couple of teenagers to win that thing last year in the gaff top division. Yeah. So he targets them pretty hardcore throughout the summer. And it's just one of those things that he goes after.
Mm-hmm.
And when that boy goes after something, he's usually he's pretty good at what he does up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's got two kids and both of them have scholarships already. Past years.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
They're no longer eligible to do it again. So now he's guiding him, and he's good at it. You know, like I said, that's one of the most determined guys I've ever seen. When he gets his mindset on something, he's insane about it.
And I want to do two more here, just because I think this is a tough one for as far as I'm concerned. Black drum. Now you can only go up to 30 inches, I believe, right? On the black drum, 13 pounds 5 ounces is the leader. 13.5 is pretty strong for a 30-inch.
That's strong. You get into 30-inch.
Yeah.
You got to keep it under 30. That'd be a tough one to beat.
That's a big humpback
drum. That's a big humpback drum. And then the other one, for very personal reasons, Kingfish Dean, 34 pounds, 14 ounces is leading right now.
Wow, that's going to get beat.
We can top that next week. We can top that next weekend.
Not according to the wind.
not according to my history in this tournament.
Not this weekend, but you got the rest of summer to keep trying.
Yeah, startournament.org if you're interested in joining there. All right, let's get to this. Really, I don't mean to be, you know, too whatever, overly sentimental or whatever, but we were talking about Grant, the fellow that had has lost both arms and both legs. By the way, Scott, I've got him set up. I'm going to be talking to him next week. But it got me to thinking about, so we'll get his story next week, but it got me thinking about the healing powers of fishing, because Dean, you had a story about someone on your boat that was pretty, pretty amazing. Go ahead and tell that story, and then we'll get some others. And that's how we'll start hour two on this beautiful Friday. Next, right here on Sports Radio 610.